Okay, good evening to the Shir in Svarno Parshas Noach. I want to start off this evening actually talking about a Svarno at the end of Parshas Bereishis, not just because we didn't have enough time last week to finish off everything, but the story of Noach on a certain level is introduced at the very end of Parshas Bereishis, and the Svarno has a comment there which is quite relevant to our discussion. So in the very end of Parshas Bereishis, Perek Vav Pasuk Ches, we find the Pasuk says, "V'Noach Motzo Chein Be'enei Hashem." Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem, even though the world at large had really deteriorated, it was deserving of destruction. But Noach, again, seemingly uniquely, found favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save Noach and his family. The Svarno seems bothered by the following contradiction. The idea of being motzei chen, finding favor, implies that fundamentally speaking, one is not deserving. Chen, the way the Svarno seems to understand it, is related to the concept of chanina, that there's a certain compassion, meaning, you know, it's related to the word chinam, it's for free, it's something which is not really deserved. So Noach Matzah Chein B'Enei Hashem makes it sound like, you know, Noach himself wasn't really deserving, but the Ribbono Shel Olam cut him a break, and he saved him. That seems to be at odds with the way Noach is described in the beginning of our parsha. Ela told us, Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim hoya b'dorosav, eso Elokim isalich Noach. Noach was a tzadik, Noach was a perfect person. He walked together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, the implication of the beginning of Parshas Noach is that Noach did something to be deserving of being saved by the Mabul. So it's a little bit of a subtle contradiction. Was he Motzei Chen? Was it simply that he wasn't deserving and just HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut him a break and saved him? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu figured somebody had to be saved. He can't destroy the entire world. So, okay, this is the best we can do. Or no, there was something inherent about Noach himself that caused him to deserve to be saved. So at the end of Parshas Bereishis, the Svarno comments as follows. Noach motzo chein lahatzil gambonov uvenosov. The sense in which Noach was given a special deal, so to speak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was compassionate upon Noach, and gave him something that he didn't really deserve, didn't pertain to Noach himself being saved. Noach himself was saved bedin. It was appropriate that Noach was saved because, as we're going to read in the beginning of this week's parasha, he was a tamim, a tzaddik, he was eso Elokim hisalech, he was righteous in all of his ways. But how is it that the rest of the family, specifically his sons and the Svarno's daughters, by which he probably means daughters-in-law, how is it that his sons and their wives were zocha to be saved? It sounds like they themselves did not have enough merit to be saved. They were saved b'schus Noach, in the merit of Noach. And why? Lo mipnei shahayo roi lekach. Really, Noach on his own only deserved to be saved himself. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved his sons and daughters was a special act of compassion that the Ribbono Shel Olam had towards Noach. Aval outsad chanino zikohu hakel yisbarach loze. And the fact that the sons and daughters were saved was an act of chanino, was an act of compassion that was not really deserved. That's Noach motzo chen be'enei Hashem. That's an interesting resolution. Where does the Svarno get that from? So the Svarno says it's a beferish pasuk in Yechezkel. If everybody just learned Yechezkel, they know the answer to this question. What's the Beferish Pasuk in Yechezkel? So it says in Yechezkel, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yudalid, V'hoyu shloshes anoshim ho'ilo b'socha. If there was a city that had three great tzaddikim in it, Noach, Doniel, V'Iyov, those are the three people mentioned in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Chayoni, Ne'um Hashem Elokim, says Hashem, I swear, Imbonim v'imbonos yatzilu. True, Noach, Doniel, and Iov might be great tzaddikim insofar as they could save themselves, but to save their families, to save their children, their sons and daughters, no, that's not going to work. Hema levadom yinot seilu, says the pasuk in Yechezkel. They and only they, these great tzaddikim, only have the schus to be able to save themselves. Really, bedin, fundamentally speaking, they don't have enough merit to be able to save their children together with them. So that's the pasuk in Yechezkel. So if the pasuk in Yechezkel is saying that Noach lacks the schus to be able to save his children, how taka were his children able to be saved? That's the Sfarno says, v'noach matzo chein be'enei Hashem. Not only was he deserving to be saved himself because tzaddik, tamim, etc., but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him special mercy to be able to extend to his children as well. So, based on this, the Sfarno goes on to put down a yisod, a very fundamental idea in terms of a tzaddik and his ability to save those around him. Right? It sounds like Noach was not fundamentally able to save his family. They were saved as a special act of compassion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that? V'zeh, kilo limdu es doram lodas es Hashem. What's true of all three of these tzaddikim, Noach, Daniel, and Iov, who are mentioned in Yechezkel, the pasuk in Yechezkel says they had enough schus to save themselves, but not to save their families. Why? Because they didn't teach their generation, the people around them, to properly connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is here, the Sfarno, I think, is implicitly answering a question that one has when one reads the pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk in Yechezkel is describing how even great tzaddikim don't necessarily have the schus to save the people around them. So who are the three biggest tzaddikim that Yechezkel can think of? Noach, Daniel, and Iov. I think if we were to take a poll, you know, name three big tzaddikim, I'm not sure that the average person would answer Noach, Daniel, and Iov. Those are the first three tzaddikim that come to mind. There are many other great tzaddikim who come to mind who are a little bit more famous. You know, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, you know, all the people we talk about on a more regular basis. So why is it that the pasuk in Yechezkel talks about Noach, Daniel, and Iov? So the Sfarno here gives a fascinating answer. He says Noach, Daniel, and Iov were tzaddikim who didn't do outreach to the people around them to try to influence them. They were tzaddikim for themselves, so they have enough schus to save themselves, but they don't have enough schus to save those around them. In contrast to Avraham, Moshe, Ushmuel, Vizulasam, so Avraham, Moshe, Shmuel, and others like them were tzaddikim who also were mashpia. They tried to influence the people around them, and therefore other people can be saved from catastrophe in the schus of tzaddikim like Avraham, Moshe, Shmuel, and others. Ka'amro zichrono livracha. As the Gemara says in Psachim, Daf Pezayin, Omer Aleph, Amir Rabbi Yochanan, Zo Elam, Vehem Daniel, Vechaveirov. When it comes to Elam, and this refers to Daniel and his Chaveirim, Hananu, Mishal, and Azariah, who were the Jews who were in what eventually would become Persia, Zachso Lilmod, Vlo Zachso Lilamid. They were able to learn, but they didn't teach, meaning they were tzaddikim themselves, but they didn't influence others. Vechei Noach. That was the nature of Noach, says the Sfarno. And then he adds the following. Afal pisha hochiach ala maisim hamakalkalim inyan hamadinos. Says the Sfarno, don't think that Noach didn't give mussar to the people around him. He did give mussar to the people around him. How do we know that he gave mussar to the people around him? So we're actually going to see a fascinating Sfarno in just a few minutes. But let's take that on face value for the moment. Says the Sfarno, Noach did give mussar to the people around him. So you say, okay, so what's your complaint against Noach? He did exactly what you wanted him to do. He not only was a tzaddik, but he tried to influence others to become tzaddikim. No, says the Sfarno. He only spoke to them about inyan hamedinos, about the social and political importance of being a good citizen. Lo hora osam, he did not teach them to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to walk in His ways. The Sfarno over here is saying a fascinating idea, and we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Cooperman in his notes relates this to a very, very important idea articulated by the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, where it seems that the Sfarno is drawing on this Rambam. According to the Sfarno, Noach gave Musar to his generation. But that mussar that he gave is not considered to be real mussar. And therefore, Noach is not counted as somebody who tried to influence his generation. Why? Because Noach's appeal to the people around him to be good was based on social and political considerations and not religious ones. He didn't go to, when he saw the people around him were stealing, right? Right? It's because of thievery, say Chazal, that the Dor HaMabul was destroyed. So when he saw the people around him stealing, instead of going to the people and saying, how can you steal? It's one of the mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Adam HaRishon, that you're not allowed to steal. It goes against the divine moral law that Hashem gave us. Instead, he went to the people and he said, from a utilitarian point of view, it's not a good idea to steal. You know, if you steal, so other people will steal from you and society is going to fall apart, it's not the right thing to do. Or he told them, you know, they're going to lock you up if you steal from people. His arguments did not invoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since his arguments didn't invoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Sfarno, so the Musar that he gave is not considered to be Musar, and therefore Noach is counted as a person who was a tzaddik for himself, but didn't try to influence the world around him. So 2 points. So first of all, how does the Sfarno know this idea that Noach tried to influence the people around him, but not in a religious kind of way, simply with an appeal to political and social considerations? So now we jump forward a little bit. To answer this question, we jump forward a little bit into the beginning of Parshas Noach, where the opening pasuk, of course, tells us that Es Ho Elokim Hishalich Noach, that Noach walked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? So the Sfarno in the beginning of Noach says as follows: Holach bidrachav, HaKadosh Baruch, that Noach rather walked in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Es Ho Elokim Hishalich Noach obviously doesn't mean that he walked literally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that the way the pasuk says much later on in Chumash, Veholachto bidrachav, he walked in he imitated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? Lehetiv lezulaso, he tried to do good by his fellow man. Valchiach b'nei doro, and he gave Musar to his generation. Kedivrei Rabboseinu zichronam livracha, as Chazal teach, v'chein kosav olav berusi hakaldii. And so too, Berusi of Babylonia wrote the same thing about Noah. In 2 places in Parshas Noah, the Sfarno makes reference to a non-Jewish historian by the name of Berusi HaKaldi. I don't know if we have his works today, but apparently the Sfarno had access to the works of this Berusi HaKaldi, this Babylonian historian. And this Babylonian historian wrote about Noah. And in the account of this Berusi HaKaldi, so he describes how Noach went around giving Musar to people. So it's very fascinating. How does the Sfarno know that Noach indeed gave Musar to people? At least in part, the answer to the question is a non-Jewish historian whose works he was familiar with, who talked about Noach. And so we know that he gave Musar. Okay, so now that we know that he gave Musar, how does that come together with the idea the Sfarno is developing based on the pasuk in Yechezkel, that Noach really didn't deserve to have anyone else saved together with him because he didn't give Musar to people. But the historians say that he did give Musar to people. Must be, the Musar wasn't really real Musar. It was a kind of Musar that was based on societal considerations, not on religious considerations. First of all, just a fascinating point in the Sfarno, that his source for this shtickel Torah, so to speak, that he's putting together is a non-Jewish historian and his account of the way Noach interacted with people. That's Aleph. Beis, the point itself that the Sfarno is making, that Musar, to tell people to do the right thing based on social considerations and not based on a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rabbi Kuperman in his notes points out, seems to go back to an idea that the Rambam has in Hilchos Melachim. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim writes in Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph, that kol hamikabel sheva mitzvos v'nizhar ba'asoson, anyone who accepts the seven mitzvos of Bnei Noach upon himself, any non-Jew who accepts the seven mitzvos and is careful about them, he's considered, as we know, to be one of the righteous Gentiles, and he has a portion in the world to come. Continues the Rambam, Vahu Shiyakabil Oson Viyaase Oson Mipne Shit Siva Bohem Hakodish Borhu Batora. But this notion that a non-Jew has a portion in the world to come is only true if he accepts the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, is only true if he accepts them based on the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us through the Torah to keep the mitzvos. In other words, he commanded Klal Yisrael to keep the 613 mitzvos and commanded the world at large to keep seven mitzvos. V'hodiyanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu shebnei Noach mikodem nitzavu bohen. And the non-Jew has to believe that the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach were reinforced through Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, he has to believe that this is part of Torah. If he just doesn't steal because it's a moral, ethical thing, according to the Rambam, such a non-Jew is not labeled automatically from the Chasidei Umos HaOlam. He does not automatically have a chelek in Olam Haba. Aval, im asom nehechrei hadas, writes the Rambam, if the non-Jew were to perform the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach because they're logical to him, in other words, without a religious basis, just a logical basis, ein zeger tosho ve'eino mechasidei Umos HaOlam. So such a person is not considered to be a Ger Toshav, he's not considered to be one of the Chasidei Umos HaOlam. And here we have a famous question of Girsa in the Rambam. The next two words either read, V'lo mechachmehem, that this non-Jew who embraces the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach out of a sense of logic is neither considered to be a Chassid nor a Chacham, he's not considered to be a wise person either. And another version of the Rambam reads, Elo mechachmeyem, that this non-Jew who embraces the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach out of logic is not considered to be a chassid, but he is considered to be a chacham. It is considered to be chachma, wisdom, to embrace the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, even if you're doing so, not out of religious conviction, but just out of a sense that this is a logical thing to do. Right? So there's a lot of ink spilled on whether the word is velo or Elo. Obviously, it has a profound implication as to how we look at such a person. But this idea in the Rambam really is the same idea that the Sfarno is articulating. The Sfarno as well is saying it's not sufficient for a person to appeal to reason or to logic to embrace the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. The appeal ultimately is supposed to be to the fact that this is Tzivoy Hashem, that this was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Noach was at fault in not focusing on the Tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu aspect of things. Noach, instead of talking about how it was a good idea for society, etc., 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 he should have spoken about how this is the Ratzon Hashem for people to observe the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. So in other words, the Musar that he gave, says the Sfarno, is not considered to be Musar, and it's not as if he really spoke to other people in that respect. Therefore, afal pi shehu hayo tzaddik tamim, even though Noach was a tzaddik and a perfect person, as we read about in the beginning of Parashas Noach, be'iyun uvamaisa, in terms of his understanding and his deeds, but he fell short in his reaching out to other people. Ki omnom had tzaddik hamashlim atzmo bilvad, says the Sfarno Yesod, the basic idea, the tzaddik who works on himself and tries to perfect his character. So he could be saved, but he can't save others. He only creates such a reality that he himself can be saved. But the tzaddik who works not only on perfecting himself, but on perfecting others, it's appropriate that not only should that tzaddik be saved in a time of catastrophe, but that others be saved as well. Why? Ki bozeh yesh tikva shiachzirem b'tshuva. The Sfarno says it makes a lot of sense. What's the point of saving the other people? What, they're just grabbing onto the coattails of the tzaddik? That doesn't work, apparently, says the Sfarno. You know, the fact that you have a connection to a tzaddik shouldn't automatically help you. it helps you insofar as that tzaddik is the kind of person who brings other people back to the proper derech. So maybe he'll bring you back as well. So in other words, you're being saved not just as a favor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the tzaddik. This person who's attached to the tzaddik, the kind of tzaddik who's mashpia, who influences others, that person is going to be saved because the tzaddik has a good chance of actually bringing that person back to the proper path. So in other words, an Avraham Avinu in his schus can save others. Lot can be saved in the schus of Avraham Avinu, right? Because there's a good chance that Avraham Avinu will be able to bring Lot back to the proper path. Noach's children were only saved because of Noach Motzo Chein Be'enei Hashem, not because Noach had a particular proclivity or a power to bring them back to the right derech, because apparently he didn't have that. So in other words, the only way in which they were able to be saved was an act of divine rachamim, of chanina, from the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Svaro concludes this perspective with a citation from Chazal, a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, which on the surface is not immediately relevant to what the Svarno is talking about, so we'll have to try to figure it out a little bit. Ka'amram zichrono livracha, as Chazal say, Imro Isa Talmud Chacham shesarach bayom. If you see a Talmud Chacham who during the daytime has fallen, has sinned, al taharer acharav balayla, already by that night, you shouldn't think bad of that Talmud Chacham. Shivadai osa tshuva. Because the Talmud Chacham certainly has repented, has done tshuva, and we can assume that even if he sinned in the morning, by the evening, he's already cleaned his slate, and, you know, he's a total Baal tshuva. What does this Maimer Chazal have to do with anything that the Svarno is talking about? The Svarno is talking about the ability of a tzaddik, of a certain type of tzaddik, to bring other people back to the fold. The citation from the Gemara in Brachos is talking about the tzaddik himself doing tshuva. So perhaps what the Svarno has in mind is the following approach. A typical tzaddik, one can rest assured that tzaddik is going to do tshuva when he does averos. That's the typical tzaddik, a tzaddik like Noach, who's a tzaddik tamim, who's a tzaddik for himself. You know, you can rest assured that such a person, you know, when he sees that there's a failing, he will work and do tshuva until he's able to correct whatever problem he had within himself. The second type of a tzaddik, the Avraham Avinu type of a tzaddik, the tzaddik who not only is a tzaddik for himself, but is a tzaddik for others, is someone who tries to bring others close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will not rest until he achieves his goal of bringing the other people back to the Derech HaTov V'Hayasha. The same way that a typical tzaddik will not rest until he does tshuva when he performs an aveira, the second level of a tzaddik is going to work hard and do whatever he can to try to bring the people around him to tshuva. So you can rest assured that such a tzaddik is going to have that kind of influence on the people around him. Now clearly it's not an exact analogy, because you can control yourself, you can't control other people. You can say, I will certainly do tshuva if I did an aveira in the morning. By the evening time, I'm the kind of person who will certainly do tshuva. If I'm trying to work on a project, you know, to bring a certain person back to do tshuva, you know, in the end of the day, it's up to them. It's not really up to me in the end of the day. But, you know, the nature of the tzaddik of Avraham Avinu is to work on bringing back the people around him with a certain tenacity, that they're not going to give up on the people around them. And, you know, while nothing's 100%, but you can say with a fair degree of certainty that there will be matzliach in bringing back the people around them. Just to add to that a little bit, in the beginning of Parshas Noach, it describes Noach, Eile Toldos Noach, In Yonov V'Yalde Yomov. These are the things that happened during his days. He's described as a tzaddik and a tamim. What's the difference between a tzaddik and a tamim? So the Sfarno writes, tzaddik b'maisa, his actions were done with tzidkus, with righteousness. Tamim b'muskalos, and when it came to his, we call it his hashkafos, his thoughts, his outlooks, his cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his mind, so in that sense, he was a tamim as well. So in other words, the Svarna was pointing out that he had rounded himself out, both, you know, b'maisa uv'machshava, in deed as well as in thought, yet he was still lacking on a certain level, as the Svarno said before, in his ability to outreach to other people. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakus es Yisrael,